This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
From the Embassy Row studios, in the crap part of Soho, it's the Men in Blazers podcast, Rog.
Oh, we survived last night, Davey.
I tell you, we are taping the pod the morning after episode 104, Rog, of the Men in Blazers show.
Possibly, arguably, in many people's top four shows of Men in Blazers.
Really? Well, it's arguable. It was the Gotterdammerung of tapings, though, Rog. It was.
I didn't think we were going to make it.
When I watched the show back yesterday, and it's only 22 minutes of television program, it took us a good 4.5 hours to record that yesterday.
We should explain the highlights machine.
Yeah, which I operate in front of me. Every time...
Didn't work.
Every time... It wasn't me. Every time I hit the button to come out of the highlight to come back to my camera, it would cue another highlight.
And you kept screaming.
It's not me.
You kept screaming, George Michael didn't have to work like this.
But there was a lot of people around the production, I think we can say, who were convinced that this was me, operator error, that we were hitting, I was hitting, being an amateur, I was just hitting the wrong button.
Having imbibed a bit of Malbec.
At that point, I had drunk a bit of Malbec, and I do have quite large fingers, but I was sure that I was not hitting.
Brendan Rodgers' fingers here.
And then finally,
sausages.
Finally.
They made a sausage.
We then had to tape the final segment with Mark Consuelos first. We then went back and did the first segment, which meant that we had to end the show at completely the right time in the second segment, which is why we went out on a shot of a helicopter for no particular reason.
Suffice it to say, without getting too technical, what it meant was we were watching the same clip over and over again. I just say, we had too much equipment, too much money. Little by little, we went insane. If you listen to fake Benny Hill music 24 times straight, it's Guantanamo.
Well, yeah, except I quite enjoyed that part. I'd had enough Malbec at that point to really enjoy. I could listen to that Benny Hill music.
Real Benny Hill music.
Yeah.
The real
song. We had the sound alike.
The sound alike throws you off, David. Did anyone else threw me off talking about odd music?
The old Landon event. What an emotional weekend for American soccer fans, Rog. Landon Donovan's second retirement ceremony. There might be a third. I'm thinking there's going to be a third at some point. They're like rose ceremonies in The Bachelor. They get ever more emotional, Rod. This was bizarre, though. Do you want to set the scene? Describe it for those who haven't seen it.
Well, succinctly put, before his last game, last home regular season game, because the playoffs are about to start, and the LA Galaxy are very much in the mix.
Yeah.
But this was Landon Donovan's final regular season home game. And because of that, he warranted any musical acts in the world.
Anything. He could choose anything. Anybody alive, one would think, he could choose to be there, and MLS and the LA Galaxy would have provided them for him.
They were going to lasso them up.
Anyone you want.
And who did he choose? Who are Landon Donovan's two favourite musical acts as revealed by Sunday night's game?
Boys to Men.
National anthem singers.
And Five for Fighting. This might have been an elaborate joke, right? He was trolling us in some way, you have suggested.
I believe that was it. I mean, my favourite moment of the weekend was the look on Clint Dempsey's face during the national anthem when Boys to Men, as many of you tweeted us, they should now strictly be called Men. They should drop the Boys team. Very dodgy old men. But if your favourite bands are Five for Fighting and Boys to Men, I think we can deduce from this that Landon's favourite television show is Picket Fences, Blossom or Wings.
Yeah.
And then he probably likes to wear a hemp necklace when he's off the field.
Yeah.
Your question, was Landon Donovan trolling us? An elaborate social media troll.
Hilarious,
by Landon, if it was. But let me ask you, if you could pick any entertainers for your goodbye, the day you leave Embassy Row, and you lecture your charges, how to carry on and save the television industry without you, Davo, which acts would drop in?
What, for Lexi, JW and Aaron? I'm thinking the Stranglers, Rog. Just purely doing covers of Motown classics. Their cover of Walk On By, Dionne Warwick's Walk On By, one of the great records of all time. Been listening to that a lot recently. I'd just have the Stranglers playing Motown classics. They would make people very happy.
It's great. I can't top that.
A good idea.
I've never thought about this question before.
really.
But if you push me, if you push me, I'd hope, Davo,
that as Rog opens a large binder entitled
"My emotional
my
farewell.
Emotional farewell,
goodbye world, yeah. goodbye cruel unforgiving world."
Yeah.
Here's what I want you to do. First, I want you to reunite ABBA.
Okay.
I want them to sing "Gimme, Gimme, Gimme a Man After Midnight."
Yeah.
That has got one of the finest song openings in popular music history.
Okay.
Then I want you to get Adam Anton out on day release.
Yeah.
To sing "Stand and Deliver."
Yeah. "Stand and Deliver."
11-year-old me. Oh, that's so all good. I'm saying. Tracy Chapman will come on and then do an unplugged version of "For My Lover."
Okay, good.
You'll exhume Philip Larkin.
Yeah.
He'll do a...
Again?
Yeah.
Okay.
He'll do a rendition of "This Be the Verse."
Okay.
And then Mrs. Patmore from Downton Abbey and the late great Dana Plato will sing the mutual national anthems of Britain and America.
I'm doing a lot of exhuming for your farewell ceremony.
David,
it'll be worth it.
Bring a
tear it was
even
a piece
to your
of
eye.
Tape, though. Landon standing there as the Fife for Fighting thing was going on the piano. That was an event.
It made you said to me, "You cannot wait for episode 2 of my documentary."
Yeah, I know. Pretty much. That's exactly what I said.
When we're going to be shooting around Fife for Fighting and. Because
you can't clear the song.
And Third Eye Blind or whatever else it was. I have to say. By the way, on that documentary...
With Third Eye Blind there as well.
I don't know.
Series is looking good right now, Rog.
You're a lovely man. That's all John Hawke.
It's not.
But I'll just say...
I love John Hawke, but I know... Well, I hear you on the phone all the time. I see you working, Rog. I see you screaming at people down the phone.
Yeah.
You're threatening a lot of legal action, you and John Hawke, over this series.
We'll bring them down, David. We'll
okay,
bring
I got
them
it.
All down.
I like it.
I'd say Landon's a very candid man.
Yeah.
I will say he's very brave in using his retirement as a platform to allow us to have a deeper understanding about the mental strains of professional sport and his own battle with depression.
Yeah.
But my biggest learning from working on this film...
Go ahead.
...is that in the early 2000s, most, I'd say 95% of US commentators on soccer, whenever there was a goal... They simply shout, "Scores!" and then quickly, frantically try and work out exactly who did it and what happened.
I know. It became easier after a while because they could just say Landon Donovan. It was much easier. Happened a lot. Rog, a few birthdays today.
Yeah.
I want to take you through them. Okay, important. Very similar people. Kim Kardashian, happy birthday. Judge Judy.
Oh.
Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
Benjamin Netanyahu.
Mm-hmm.
Nemanja Vidic, Rog, 33 years old.
They're all very similar human beings.
They are very similar.
Carrie Fisher is arguably the thinking man's Kim Kardashian.
Yes, it's very, very true. Yeah. And Rog, one other thing before we get to the football. Interesting piece this week in the Daily Telegraph, my favourite newspaper.
My dad's favourite newspaper.
The Brazilian wandering spider, remember him? Was delivered in Waitrose, that's an English supermarket, after an online shopping order. Most customers would welcome a free item in their online grocery shop, but not when it's a deadly spider and a bulging egg sac.
Do you remember what the outcome of being bit by aforementioned spider was?
I believe you ended up with a thickening.
Yeah.
That would last for several days.
24 hours.
And would potentially kill you.
It would, no. You had a 24-hour thickening and then died irrevocably. And my favourite line in the article was that they said, even with the spider successfully captured, the family were too frightened to sleep in their home that night.
Yeah.
I keep thinking that the spider could have killed me or my son if he had gone to get a banana. It's a conflation of two of the things I love most. In other words, how I dream of passing away, David. Most people want to die in their sleep, not me. Give me tiny bananas and one last great erection.
Yeah, there's no doubt there's a whole music list. We've talked about it before, your farewell music list for the ultimate farewell.
Tears of a clown.
I'll tell you, if you go with a Brazilian wandering spider, I'll have a clown there. okay, we've got a packed show. We're going to discuss the Looney Tunes slapstick that was Queen's Park Rangers Liverpool. We're not just going to worship Kun Aguero, but we're also going to say some nice things about Crazy Joe Hart and James Milner, Rog. We're going to break down every strain of Premier League polemic. We're going to recoil in horror as Jurgen and Don Garber knife fight in
look
the
away,
media.
Look away!
We're going to cuddle your Ravens. We're going to welcome Texas A&M kicker and former US under-20 goalkeeper Josh Lambo to the pod, Rog.
It's a lot, David.
Before we go to the football, or as we go to the football, I'm opening a rather attractive black bottle.
Is that a bottle of champagne, David?
It's not. It's a bottle of Guinness, the 1759.
Are you talking about the new limited edition brew that's made from a 200-year-old recipe handed down by our master brewers? Wow. It's a recipe that's even older than Brad Friedel, David.
Old man Friedel. This stuff, number one, this bottle is beautiful. I want a case of it.
Comes in this amazing box.
Just for the next couple of days I'm spending in Las Vegas. No, I'm really good at opening. I opened a lot of champagne in college, Roger. I'm good at opening this stuff. Okay, we've got little flutes. Yep. Little Guinness flutes. Let me do this near the microphone. Number one, it's weird because it smells a little bit like... drink it before it goes over the top. How's that?
Oh, it's great.
It is?
It's really amazing.
Oh, cheers, mate.
Oh, Dave, there's nothing better than 200-year-old beer.
Is it 200 years old? That is good.
Tastes Belgian.
Yeah, it does taste a little Belgian. Okay, Rog, to the football. We are now 8/38 of the way through the Premier League season. That does reduce to 4/19, Rog. That means that we're more than a fifth, more than one-fifth of the way through the Premier League season. What happens after a weekend when it reduces? The Premier League goes proper bonkers, Rog, and it did this weekend. The biggest game, we didn't think this was going to be the biggest game of the weekend, but it was, because it was pure comedy. QPR 2, Liverpool 3. What kind of odds could you have got on that score with 5 minutes to go in that game? A frantic end-to-end explosion of a finale at Loftus Road saw four goals in the final 8 minutes. Liverpool led 1-0, courtesy of a 67th-minute Richard Dunn own goal.
Wonder strike.
Before Eduardo Vargas equalised in the 87th minute, the little Chilean lad. Liverpool went ahead again behind Philip Coutinho, only to have Vargas draw QPR level for a second time. In the game's dying embers, Stephen Corker turned a Raheem Sterling ball into his own net, giving Brendan Rodgers' men all 3 points.
Not to be hyperbolic, David.
Yeah, you wouldn't be.
But this game made me question the theological underpinnings of reward and punishment.
Yeah.
Good and evil.
Yeah.
And the foundations of the Protestant work ethic.
Yeah.
It's very troubling. But I guess that's what happens when you have two blunt attacks face two turgid defences.
Yeah. But it was also... QPR conspired to allow goals very arsenally, Rog. They were so far up the other end. It wasn't Liverpool's attacking moves. It was just this... And it wasn't even this vicious Liverpool counter. Yes, Raheem Sterling, once again, moves at a different speed from other mere mortals, Rog.
We'll talk about that.
But... they just got done every time. All three Liverpool goals were just out of absolutely nothing and turgid, turgid defending.
Well, let's talk about the core texts coming into the game, which were less about will Liverpool win, which everybody took as a fait accompli.
Yeah.
They were more about will Mario Balotelli score.
Yeah.
He said, I need to get in the box more. I don't do enough. I've always been someone who goes around the pitch, you know. That was him explaining why he's not scored before this game. And go about the pitch he did, Davo, in a very surreal Andy Kaufman performance art kind of way. When I watch Balotelli trot around, fall over, blast the ball nonchalantly over the bar, I can only think of old Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
Going on to Saturday Night Live in 1975 and doing his Mighty Mouse routine, where he'd trot on the stage nervously until the line, here I come to save the day, came on. And just the whole audience did not know what to make of it. That's what happens when Mario Balotelli plays football for Liverpool Football Club.
Yeah, it's very true. But he was almost not part of the story. The story was that Mario Balotelli was not really part of the story in this game. It managed to be a game of comical brilliance without Mario Balotelli really being involved.
Well, Leroy Fer gave us the first double dose of that.
Oh, my God, what a miss, Rog.
Two misses?
Yeah.
If QPR had a finisher like Sunderland's Santiago Virginie, would have been 2-0 lights out.
Best goal ever. You're right, 28th minute, 34th minute, two horrible misses from him.
Watching QPR play football well, David, is as funny on the eye as finding out that a celebrity has like a hidden skill you didn't know about. It's like hearing that Jason Lee was once a professional skateboarder. Or Gina Davis is really good at archery. This Liverpool team are to last season's Liverpool team What really creepy Rob Lowe is to Rob Lowe.
That's really interesting. See, that for me is the storyline going into this game. And I sort of feel that it gets expunged a little bit, wiped away a little bit after they managed to eke out the result. But still, the strange thing about Liverpool is what has happened to last year's Liverpool. I know they lost. Let's accept they lost the Premier League's leading goal scorer by a mile in Luis Suarez. But he wasn't the only guy who played that well for Liverpool last season. Raheem Sterling has moved on another level since last season. Yes, they've had the Sturridge injury, but just the way they play, it just doesn't look like the same team.
But it's a gutter for, I think, anyone that loves football that Daniel Sturridge is injured. The calf injury to follow as soon as he recovered from the last one. But what it means is that there's, without Sturridge and with no Luis Suarez, there's no one ahead of Raheem Sterling that's troubling defences and stretching them and giving them the space that he needs to run into. And just when QPR fans were starting to chant, "Raheem Sterling, he sleeps when he wants, he sleeps when he wants," the 19-year-old boy man ran down the field and banked the ball home off Richard Dunn.
Yeah.
11 goals that man has scored, that man mounted in the Premier League, 10 of them, Davo, into his own net. He's the first player to reach double figures of own goals in the Premier League. And it's an amazing tribute to him that he didn't celebrate the feat at all.
No, he didn't celebrate the feat. I mean, you have to say that Richard Dunn has actually been a very, very good Premier League defender. He's sort of done his years, and you can only get to score that many goals if you are getting picked every single week and you're back in the box and you're trying to clear the ball. And, you know, frankly, on that own goal, he was... like the rest of the QPR defence, he was just caught, you know, not even ball-watching, looking away, like complaining to the referee when Liverpool just took a very quick free kick and did a very good job.
You kind of thought then, David, Liverpool 1-0 ahead.
Yeah.
The fat lady singing.
Yeah.
You thought, lights out, game over.
Well, QPR had played them very well. Liverpool had then got the goal. You kind of feel like, oh, that's it. They've done them.
But then Vargas.
Yeah.
With Mignolet again flapping. What an old goalkeeper Mignolet is. His bravado keeps Liverpool in it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable saves.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, particularly against cross balls,
he
can gift opponents goals. And here Vargas came on.
Yeah.
But arguably one of my top 10 Premier League footballer Michael Jordan neck tattoos.
Yeah.
Vargas.
Yeah, excellent.
I do like it. Level terms.
Yeah.
And you think, wow, it's this close to the end. 3 minutes to go.
Yeah.
What a curious...
That's it. 1-1. Well played, both teams. Decent result.
Fair. Fair's fair.
We accept it. Yeah. Then what happens? QPR get a corner. You're thinking, could QPR go ahead? QPR get the corner. Ball breaks to Raheem Sterling. He feeds it into Gerrard, who actually manages to put like two legs in front of each other for a change. That goes to Coutinho. He's going to cut right. He cuts right. Hits with his right foot.
For a second, Liverpool flickered back into the Liverpool of last season.
Yeah.
Beautiful finish. Fat lady again.
Yeah,
singing,
2-1.
David.
Oh, this is tough on QPR. They're out of the game, Rog, and they got nothing out of it. Then another corner, other end, near post, Vargas. Boom. Goal line technology, Rog.
Yeah, 93rd minute.
Yeah.
But again, QPR make a mistake for a second time. What have they done, Dave?
They've equalised too early. Twice, Rog.
And
twice.
I have to say, at this point, I am saying, I am so sorry for English journalists who are at the game having to cover it. At this point, they're on to the rewrite of the rewrite. Yeah.
Well, they had
rewrite.
Their story going into the game, which was all about Balotelli scoring his first goal in the Premier League. And then they've had to rewrite it so many times, you're right.
Yeah, and then game over, 2-2.
Yeah.
But there's an old adage, almost a cliche.
Yeah.
Those who don't learn from history are doomed to score another own goal.
Yeah, free kick for QPR, Rog. They really, there's no way that they're going to give up a goal now. Only about 30 seconds to go in the game. They take the free kick, gets headed away. Bam, it breaks down the other end. They really don't want to let Balotelli score a goal. So what does he do? Stephen Corker knocks it in his own net to prevent Balotelli from scoring.
Well, the amazing thing about it is, had they let it go to Balotelli, he probably would have cleared it for them. But the also amazing thing is that for that third goal, how clever Sterling is, realising he's got no one in the middle to pass it to. He's just adapted.
Yeah.
Passing to QPR defenders is more effective than passing to Liverpool attackers.
Yeah.
The other strange thing about it was QPR kept their defenders back to counter the counter.
Yeah.
But they're so hapless. Mm-hmm. They had no antidote for Sterling's speed.
Well, or that's how quick he is.
Well, you tell you how quick he is.
Yeah.
34 kilometres an hour.
Wow.
You're saying that, Rog, yeah, is exactly the same speed as a brown bear.
No, I'm trying to divide by 5 and times by 8, or divide by 8 and times by 5 and convert that into miles per hour.
The female brown bear,
yeah,
I found out this week.
Yeah.
It hibernates all winter long. Or so she hibernates all winter long. She doesn't even wake up to give birth.
Is this another...
All female listeners are hearing this and saying to themselves, that sounds awesome. Can you imagine just waking up and having given birth to a baby?
Is this another insight into that Puma commercial, Rog? Is this why you are researching brown bears as well?
Oh, it's a Liverpool, Davo.
Yeah.
They played as if their master plan was to show Real Madrid so many areas of weakness.
Uh-huh.
They'll be confused as to where to attack on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm sure I picture like Ancelotti and Gareth Bale breaking down the game film as if Will Ferrell, Bill Murray and Tina Fey were in it.
Yeah, it's very true.
I've got a feeling Brendan Rodgers wanted to inculcate Real Madrid with just a false sense of confidence.
Yeah.
It's like a find the lady kind of confidence trick. I've got a feeling Liverpool, where the atmosphere is going to be unbelievable on Wednesday, I've got a feeling Liverpool may actually do them. But
really?
Would you keep playing Balotelli? Would you start Balotelli on Wednesday if you are Brendan Rodgers? One goal in his last 22 Premier League appearances, 73 shots.
You know what? I probably wouldn't. I'd be playing Barini at this point. I just think that Balotelli is not giving... There are some players who are out of form who still give you maximum effort. They just keep on going and going and going, but it's just not breaking for them. Balotelli does not look like a player. By the way, and I know he's a... We're not dealing with a regular human being. Every time he goes down, teams know what they've got to do. They've just got to challenge him hard. They've got to like get him to the deck. They've got to foul him. Every time he goes down, he gets up slower and moves slower the next time. He is barely moving. He's barely running patterns, Rog,
In a way, for me, watching Mario Balotelli feels as cruel as bear baiting. Watching him just slowly decompose during games. Here's what I don't understand.
Having said that, this is a guy who I've seen score amazing goals, even against England this summer at the World Cup. A great goal, great header, great run.
QPR are a good team, England are. But the first few games, Brendan Rodgers took complete responsibility for what everyone perceived to be Balotelli's team play.
Yeah.
Did you see him mark at corners for the first time? I did that. So he's either in control of Balotelli, Brendan, or he's not in control. Does Balo have free will?
Yeah.
Or do you believe in Brendan Rodgers' determinism, David?
Yeah. Well, it feels like Brendan Rodgers might have given up a little bit on Balo at this point.
Although, strikers need goals.
Do I believe in free will? Yeah, absolutely. I believe in free will.
You do. Is it possible to believe in both free will for everybody else and determinism or redoom just for me?
What is that? Does that apply to you, Rog?
So moving on from that.
we could talk about the thrill of living on a knife edge of not knowing what's going to happen at any point for hours. I'd love to talk about that.
The Cossacks are behind
every door. It's the only reason that life is interesting to me. Okay, go ahead.
If you want to draw out a positive for Liverpool,
you
could say it's amazing that the team had the ability to find a way anyway to win that game when they were playing so appallingly.
Well, also Coutinho. It's good to see Coutinho have such a good game. Raheem Sterling is still amazing, coming back from after, you know, his whole, the controversy surrounding him after, you know, his tiredness issue during the England's European qualifying. It's good to see them playing, you know, those guys playing good football. The worry for me with Liverpool, I mean, the thing that he who must not be named, the issue that you can't talk about with Liverpool fans is Steven Gerrard, Rog. And just watching him run or fail to, just watching his leg speed go. And I feel like we're watching his leg speed go every single week now.
I mean, just to cap it, in that game, Liverpool could be described in the same way as Zinedine Zidane described the French World Cup team of 2010.
Yeah.
They only have two weaknesses, he said. They can't attack and they can't defend.
Huh. Well, another game with a preponderance of attack and very, very little defence, Rog. Manchester City 4, Tottenham 1. Sergio Aguero slapped 4 goals past Hugo Lloris and continues to single-handedly dismantle Spurs every year, Rog, like Chipper Jones once did the Mets. He has now scored 9 goals in 6 Premier League appearances against Tottenham. City stay second, 5 points behind Chelsea. He scored again today, Rog, in Moscow. Man City with a very disappointing 2-2 draw at the end of that game, but they looked fantastic at the weekend against Tottenham.
This was a game of high pressing, counter-attacks and penalty
after
penalty. It could actually be described as the longest penalty shootout in football history.
Huh.
Four penalties awarded, two penalties were missed, one wet red card and one fabulous hat-trick. When City crushed Spurs last season, I think Arlo White in the first minute of the game poetically called Spurs a lifeless carcass, which sounds better out of his mouth than it does
lifeless carcass
to mine. But while the scoreline suggests this was more of the same, it was actually very different.
Yep.
Thought Spurs started brightly. Eriksen and Mason made the back four of City look a little leaden-footed.
Uh-huh.
And then City took the lead. I think it was Lamela that turned the ball over and found its way to Kun Aguero, and he slapped it home. That gentleman, such little backlift. It's almost derisive the way he scores goals.
He's one of those guys, we've said it before, but when you actually see him in person, he looks on television, looks like a small, just looks like a prototypical big bottom small. In real life, he is physically so strong, it blows you away. His speed and strength just blow you away.
9 goals this season from just 33 shots. And then the question became, how would Spurs respond? The team that leaked 11 goals in 2 games against Spurs last season. And they did within 2 minutes. Ryan Mason went all street urchin. He picked Fernando's pocket. And it was Eriksen who banked the ball top corner off Joe Hart's toes.
Yeah. That was a good goal. Eriksen criticised by his manager, Mauricio Pochettino, midweek, and he bounced back very, very... Another great performance by a player who's impressed us a lot, Rog.
Beautiful performance.
Yeah.
It didn't get the credit I felt it deserved.
Yeah.
Frank Lampard.
Yeah.
He set up the first goal by shielding Aguero's shot from Lloris. His ample girth was like a one-man wall.
Yeah, he's half the width of either of us, Rog. Go ahead.
And then he set up the second penalty.
Yeah.
He fell like a giant redwood in Muir Woods, California.
Yeah, he had momentum, Rog. When you're moving at that speed, it's tough not to go down.
And then he exited on a stretcher with a muscle strain to a huge ovation.
They love him in Manchester.
26 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
Maybe, perhaps, one of the greatest Manchester City careers of all time has just ended. Next stop, a baseball diamond in the Bronx.
Yeah.
And
Section 28.
Lamps's loss may have hurt Spurs more than City.
Yeah.
Because with him playing, there were gaps left in midfield as he pressed forward that disappeared when Fernandinho came on to play alongside Fernando.
Yeah.
I love those two. Most similarly but different named duo since Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta got to first base in Greece.
Yeah, perhaps the more significant moment, though, was the missed penalty, Rog, by Soldado. I mean, a guy who's struggling this season. I thought had a good game up to this point.
It's
he played very, very, very well. His linking play was excellent. But, you didn't really want him taking that penalty at that point, Rog.
He's such a tragic character. He fired a penalty straight at Crazy Joe Hart.
Crazy Joe Hart had a very good game.
That's one
of the best games I've seen Joe Hart have for a very, very long time.
He got down well to his right.
Yeah.
But if you were filing that Soldado penalty away,
yeah,
I think you classify it as a back pass more than a shot.
Yeah.
$42 million transfer fee hangs around his neck like an albatross. Poor Soldado. At Zhao Falcon tweeted us and said, "Atman and Blazers, is Roberto Soldado Spanish for Fernando Torres?"
David? Yeah. No, there are some similarities. You know, Soldado is a player rather like Torres, I would say, who gives maximum effort every single time he plays, but just appears a little bit low on confidence right now.
If you're Gwyneth Paltrow sliding doors that game, David.
Yeah.
As a Spurs fan.
Yeah, I like that movie.
Can you make the case that the scoreline might have been so very different if that had gone in? Two teams were looking at each other eye to eye.
Yeah.
And one team had a Spanish striker who's been miserable. The other had an Argentinian one who scored 25 goals in 27 games.
Yeah.
With his potent hard charging and just effusive confidence. I mean, that miss came back to haunt them. Jonathan Moss, the referee, pointed to the spot so many times.
Yeah.
His abs wouldn't have gotten a better toning if he did the bar workout.
Yeah.
And off he went. Aguero got his hat-trick, and then debutant Federico Fazio brought down Aguero.
Yeah.
He looks like Lou Ferrigno's younger brother. Got a red card on his debut.
Yeah.
And Aguero finally bothered to convert a penalty second time round.
Yeah, talking of penalties, in the background, Didier Drogba's just knocked in another Champions League penalty for Chelsea against Maribor, Rog.
Jay Greenwich, Aguero and Costa now tied for the Premier League goals lead, the youngest and the oldest looking 26-year-olds in world football.
Yeah, I think you can say, I mean, you're right, that the score could so easily have been so different. And Tottenham fans should take apart from that, and a pretty good performance, very different from last year's thrashing at Manchester City for Tottenham. And yet, this does feel still to be Tottenham's problem, that they seem to get on the back end of games that are pretty close. And you've got to be mentally tough week in, week out to do well in this Premier League.
Yeah, I feel for Spurs fans.
Yeah.
They're always so full of punctured hope.
Yeah.
And I've got to tell you, I realised watching this game, if I was a Londoner, which is hard to be hypothetical about history, I have a feeling I'd be a Spurs fan. But they can take they can take solace that they did show up for 60 minutes in this game. And at times they conjured some stirring play in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
But all this talk about DeAndre Yedlin and needing DeAndre Yedlin,
it's
pretty telling.
Yeah. No, it's very true. But they could definitely deal with some exciting players to go and open up teams on the flanks. Unfortunately, they spend a lot of time defending on the flanks right now, and they need the Eric Dyers more than they have room for the very, very attacking players. West Brom 2, Rog. Manchester United 2, another game that very, very nearly went the other way. Marouane Fellaini, Daley Blind record their first Manchester United goals, and the Red Devils escape with a point after trailing twice in this game. United have 12 points in 8 games, one more than they had at this stage under David Moyes.
I remember him.
Yeah.
Four, another game with 4 phenomenally well-taken goals. Another riotously entertaining game.
Yeah.
I think the games post-international breaks, I love them. The players are exhausted. They've come back from Hong Kong and Beijing and crazy places.
See, I actually have a different theory. I think the quality of the football at the start of this Premier League, and I think you would disagree, talking about where you've said there are only 2 decent teams in the Premier League, Chelsea and Manchester City.
And 18 wounded animals.
I think the quality of the teams top to bottom and the quality of attacking, the quality of the goals we've seen in the Premier League this season have been outstanding. And I think some of it has to do with last season being a World Cup year, Rog. That a lot of teams and a lot of those players sort of turned off and got a little sort of out of sync going into a World Cup. And this year, I think we're seeing great attacking play in the Premier League.
All the talk pre-kickoff here was of Louis van Gaal using the win against Everton to propel United back into the title chase. How quickly that looked premature, David. Graham Dorans humiliated Luke Shaw, and the ball found his way to Stefan Sessegnon.
Oh, what a crack, Rog. What a crack.
Has Benin ever produced a finer player?
Yeah, probably not.
So intelligent, whenever he wants. If he was a tiny bit more consistent, I think he'd be a true Premier League power.
Yeah.
But United, another odd, cumbersome.
Yeah, strange.
First half.
Yeah, not exactly fluid from them either. But the man who steps up and saves them, Rog, and almost I can see the pain in your eyes a little bit, but it's Marouane Fellaini, Rog.
Well, Louis van Gaal knew exactly how to change things tactically at half-time. He just said, add more hair! And he pointed towards Fellaini and Falcao.
Yeah, if you need more hair, that's where to go.
West Brom tweeted at halftime during their game, awful, awful stuff, that they tweeted, Fellaini has now taken his tracksuit off. Fortunately, he has a Man United strip on underneath. Fellaini then trotted out and powered home a goal, his first for United. It only took him 19 appearances and 26 shots. At RB Bradley tweeted us, the Fellaini effect.
Yeah.
Surely now kids everywhere will be wearing the Belgian fro for Halloween, don't you think?
Yeah. Then West Brom go ahead. Rog, look like they're going to win this game. You and I watching it thinking, oh no, what's going on with Manchester? Just when you thought they were getting back.
And by the way, that West Brom going ahead,
yeah,
arguably against a run of play, but that was, to me, what you were saying. That's so Premier League 2014-15.
Yeah, quality.
Yeah, where a medium-level team can take a goal against a perceived heavyweight on the chin and summon a second.
Yeah.
It drove right through the gutter, United. And the thing I loved about this goal was Raphael was so desperate to stop the goal scorer, Mourinho, that he screamed as he shot to put him off.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's such a Bush League move. It's what we used to do on the street to Liverpool.
Yeah.
I keep wondering, what did he shout?
Yeah.
I think he probably shouted his admiration. I think he probably shouted, Mourinho for England.
Well, you're English. You're not meant to be that good. I mean, Berahino is a guy, by the way, who we've seen play at all youth levels for England. A very, very useful player. I don't think he's very far from playing for the senior team right now, Rog.
West Brom haven't beaten United at home since March 31st, 1984. Yeah. Footloose by Kenny Loggins was number one.
Great song.
In the charts. Adnan Yanishai was 11 years from being born.
Yeah.
He was even more years away from becoming a disappointing out-of-confidence prospect.
So cruel, Rog.
But United they got the goal they needed.
Yeah. Well, Daley Blint on the edge of the area, and what a finish that was. Could so easily have lost this game 2-1, but for a pretty perfect strike. Ball breaks to him. Fantastic finish. Good on you.
Yeah, I mean, the draw doesn't mask a lack of identity for United,
yeah.
who more and more appear like Christina Hendricks.
Yeah.
Another red where everything is at the top. But while Di Maria provides the greatest threat, Van Persie and Mata, they just don't seem to be the duo that you'd want on the end of those crosses.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen, Davo, if Van Gaal drops RVP for Falcao, who does seem like the kind of guy who can poach in? The combination of Falcao and Fellaini, they're probably, if you're United right now, the most practical, if not aesthetic, threat.
Yes, Rog, F for potent. 6 road games without a win for Manchester United. They now face Chelsea this coming weekend, and then Manchester City, Rog. Talking of Chelsea, Crystal Palace 1, Chelsea 2. Chelsea travels south of the river. Cesc Fabregas claimed his first Chelsea goal after a kaleidoscopic shuffle of passes to win a ten-a-side affair that saw both teams have a player sent off before halftime. Fraser Campbell grabbed one back for Palace. He had a good game as well. But Chelsea take the points and remain top of the table. Fantastic first goal for Chelsea, Rog. That Oscar free kick. Beautiful strike. He's back. There's a guy who was distracted going into the World Cup and is now playing great football again.
Yeah, I mean, the shattering news ahead of this game was that everyone's fantasy football team was hindered by Diego Costa being out.
Yeah.
Oh, the
hopefully people switched in for Kun Aguero. They'd have done very well.
And the odd thing about this game was that we have to remember last season in the reverse fixture, Chelsea surrendered first place by stumbling against Tony Pulis's Palace, courtesy of a signature John Terry own goal special.
Yeah, by the way, talking of John Terry own goal, he actually just stuck one in the net at the other end. Amazing.
But wheels within wheels, Dave. This season, Chelsea were under the cosh.
Yeah.
Again against Palace for all of 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Fraser Campbell, he buzzed around with menace.
Yeah.
But then that whip smart Oscar free kick had them on their back.
Superb free kick. Crystal Palace, a very, very tough place for any of the London teams especially to go and play. By the way, tough place for Liverpool to go and play last season as well. The fans create such an amazing atmosphere. And they've got so much steel in midfield. Jedinak, he's the kind of player who I love watching play for football. He's so steely.
Those fans, I'd love to just do a whole episode of the Men in Blazers show about the Crystal Palace fans.
Yeah.
Even in the face of defeat, in the pouring rain, they do not stop.
Yeah.
It gets to the heart of fandom about what you're really cheering for.
Yeah.
I've never seen happier people, even in North Korea.
Yeah.
even in Nirvana.
Yeah, that's what South London's like, Rog.
They all remind me of Ellie Kemper in The Office.
Yeah.
Just eternally happy no matter what's going on.
Yeah.
And they had plenty to be happy about because the game became interesting when Dave got sent off right in front of the referee.
Azpilicueta.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
slid right through your man, Jedinak.
Terrible challenge.
And you began to think, game on.
Yeah.
For all of 2 minutes.
Yeah.
There was a team in the early 1920s, the Corinthians.
Yeah.
Who were gentlemen paragons of the game.
Yeah.
And if they were given a penalty, they'd miss it on purpose. They didn't think penalties were gentlemen.
Well, they opposed the introduction of the penalty area because they felt that what gentleman would ever intentionally foul another person?
And if their opponents lost the player to injury or dismissal, what would they do, David?
They would make sure they lost one of their
own. They voluntarily would take one of their own players off. They didn't want a 10-man advantage. And so, in the Corinthian spirit...
Yeah.
Crystal Palace
did exactly the same thing.
Damien Delaney,
yeah, second yellow card,
tugged on like Remy's jersey.
Yeah,
he wasn't a troglodyte, David, that he seemed. He was just a Corinthian gentleman.
Yeah,
and then it all became Eden Hazard, Oscar, Cesc Fabregas.
Yeah,
just the second goal is possibly just the most beautiful thing I saw this weekend.
Yeah, it was vintage Spain. It was a very, very good.
It was
goal.
Very Arsenal-y, to be honest.
Yeah.
And Cesc,
I prefer to call that vintage Spain.
A man overjoyed to get his first league goal.
Yeah.
For Chelsea.
Definitely.
Also,
he's enjoying playing in blue, Rog. You've got to say, you're watching that guy play football and you're thinking he's enjoying his football.
I tell you who I love watching, who enjoys his football, Matic.
Yeah.
Watching him wobble around like a portable wall Chelsea used to defend and bounce the ball off.
Yeah.
Joyous.
Yeah, he is very much my kind of football. He is so important for Chelsea right now, especially with John Obi-Mikel injured, who's his cover in midfield. Matic is just... This is a team who's offensive. You know, there have been criticisms of Chelsea in years past. They don't play very attractive offensive football. It's all built on steel. But right now they're using that steel as a platform to play this kind of football, Roger.
Another gentleman who is inserting himself and making sure that when the Chelsea Invincibles 2014-15 DVD comes out, he is in it every week.
Yeah.
Jose Mourinho.
Yeah. The scarf.
So again,
are you going to mention the scarf, Roger?
Well, he looked. I mean, the contrast between him and Neil Warnock. Neil Warnock looked like he was made out of 100% polyester and stomach.
Yeah.
He looked
circa 1957.
He looked like a 1950s phys ed teacher.
You're right.
From the Midwest.
Yeah.
And
like Mrs. Doubtfire, weirdly.
Mourinho. Yeah. And Livia Soprano. If Mrs. Doubtfire and Livia Soprano had a baby, Neil Warnock would be their bastard child. Mourinho, he looked like a Brooklyn hipster off to a Doctor Who convention.
Yeah, or like a GQ spread. Looks so good. That sort of jaunty scarf he's wearing.
But against Aston Villa, he had the fisticuff, near fisticuffs with Lambert and Keane for the rude handshake.
Yeah.
Then he had real fisticuffs with Arsene Wenger.
Yeah.
And now he made himself the story again. After the game, journalists asked him what allowed Chelsea to get the 3 points.
Yeah.
What did he do, Davo? He grabbed their pad and just wrote big balls in Mourinho handwriting. He wants to make himself the story every single time. Talking about biro messages.
Yeah.
500 games as captain, John Terry.
Yeah. Good for him. Good for John Terry. But I think the one thing you'd have to say, this is not in defense of Jose Mourinho, but to sort of explain, sometimes I think Jose Mourinho does make more sense if you read the entirety of the oeuvre and not just take one isolated incident. Fantastic interview in The Telegraph with Gary Neville that really got inside the mind of Jose Mourinho. And what he is saying about this team versus the team in previous seasons is they believe they can win. He believes that they can actually win because it is about their steel. It is about the size of their balls, Rog.
I want to talk about John Terry, 500 games as captain.
Yeah.
Cue complete lack of modesty in the post-match press conference. When you look at these kind of records, you step back. I'm in it week after week. You go from one game to another, but you step back and see the stats and the achievements. It is incredible. And I want to say, for once, Dave, John Terry deserves nothing but credit. What he said is absolutely right. It is an amazing feat.
Yep.
500 games as Chelsea captain.
Yeah.
Becoming captain as a 21-year-old in 2001.
Yeah.
He is, whatever you think about him, a constant amongst change.
Well, and I think what you could say is, and this is somebody who's watched John Terry play a lot of football, what's sad about John Terry is that many of the things he's done in his personal life and that he's also done on a football field that affected the way that people feel about him have obscured the fact that he has really been a fantastic Premier League and international defender for so long, continues to score goals today against Maribor the third. Arsenal 2, Hull City 2, Rog. A Danny Welbeck stoppage time goal rescues a point for a somewhat confused Arsenal. Arsene Wenger's defensively hapless team, they needed John Terry, have won just one of their last seven league games and currently sit in seventh place, 11 points adrift of Chelsea, queuing that familiar sound of Arsenal fans being at war with themselves, and often one person at war with himself about how he feels of moving between Arsenal are the greatest, Arsene Wenger is the greatest, we play football like nobody else plays, and at the same time, we have no defenders, we've spent our money so badly, why on earth aren't we the best team in football?
There's a great line in that Gary Neville piece that you mentioned, the sit-down with Mourinho.
Uh-huh.
And it made me think less about Mourinho and more about Arsene Wenger.
Yeah.
Neville said, he, Mourinho, shows himself to be a pragmatist, free of rigid philosophy or prearranged ideas.
Yeah.
Those are not words that you really associate too much with Arsene Wenger.
Certainly not about Arsene Wenger, but I'm not sure many people associate those words with Jose Mourinho either, Rog.
But you watch this Arsene Wenger football team kind of floundering. You see them get booed off by their own fans at the end of a game. You see them get five draws at the opening of this Premier League campaign. And you wonder about the number of ideas that Arsene currently has in terms of grappling with these challenges. Yes, he's got injuries. Yes, he's now lost Ozil to a longer-term injury. But this Arsenal team, incredibly devoid of football kind of willpower in this game. They turned up for the first kind of 10 minutes and then they turned it on in the last five or so. But in the middle 80, not so much. I don't think they recorded a shot on goal between the 30th minute and the 86. And if it wasn't for Alexis Sanchez, Davo, this Arsenal team, you have to think, where would they be without that gentleman?
Well, that's very true. He's a very, very good purchase. Look, this is what I think, is that Hull deserve a lot of credit. They played fantastically in this game. And frankly, they've played very well this season under Steve Bruce. They're good at the back, got some very good midfielders, and certainly they're scoring goals, just like a lot of other teams who you think of being mid-table teams. They're capable of scoring against you. There aren't that many easy games, other than Sunderland right now, in the Premier League, Rog. And the days of Arsenal running over weaker teams, going into the Emirates and just simply collapsing, it's not going to happen that much anymore. To be an elite team, a title contender in the Premier League, you've got to be really bloody good.
Well, you look at this team, I mean, Alexis Sanchez, phenomenal footballer, rare Arsenal player who actually looks happy on the field, a gorgeous, gorgeous goal. At Linton Matt tweeted us, why doesn't Alexis Sanchez just wear shorter shorts rather than do that hikey thing?
He loves hiking his shorts. And it's a silly gets him in the mood.
Why doesn't Dieter Von Teese just walk around naked all day?
Yeah.
It's the erotic titillation surrounding
He's
the reveal
so right.
of the thing. The other thing about ideas, though, Hull scored their equaliser in a way you always do against Arsenal. You just propel yourself through the hapless Flamini and then go right through the gut of the makeshift Arsenal defence. This one had Nacho Monreal at centre-back.
Yeah.
Having him at centre-back, it's like listening to that White Stripes song in the cold, cold night where Meg's doing the singing. Just feels absolutely awful, like a cataclysm is meant to occur. And 45 seconds of the second half, it got worse. Abel Hernandez taking advantage of Per Mertesacker ball-gazing. Danny Welbeck briefly resumed being a world-class footballer after Sanchez again sucked in four Hull defenders and Arsenal got the tie. Positive note, I thought Hector Bellerin was superb.
Yeah.
Joel Campbell.
Yeah.
Not a bad little cameo. Those are positives. But when asked who he blames for his team's lack of form, Arsene Wenger snapped.
Why do you always blame people?
He's right.
Yeah.
Droids, Cartesian gantry robots and drones are clearly to blame for Arsenal's woes. As he was dealing with the media, Steve Bruce then took the tube. A beautiful photograph of Steve Bruce on the subway in London, popping off to Sam Allardyce's 60th birthday party, David.
Yeah, that would have been a knees up. I'd have loved to have seen Steve Bruce past midnight Sam Allardyce's birthday party.
What do you imagine? Because I'm not a massive party person, but that is a party I'd love to go to.
Yeah.
What do
they
you imagine?
Definitely play the... They definitely play that song.
I imagine it being an orgy of beer, body odour and pies.
Yeah, well, it doesn't take a lot of imagination to think of that.
Just waking up in bed with a strange pie.
Yeah.
I don't even remember your name, Steak and Kidney.
Yeah. Naked with your body covered in ham, I could imagine. That would be quite some party. I'd love to go to that. I don't know. I mean, I think what Arsene Wenger is saying there is, why does there always have to be blame? And this is maybe about the ambition of that club, of how good they want to be, how much money do they actually want to spend, what do they want to actually do. The Premier League is moving on to a new level. These top teams in the Premier League have got to be the top teams in Europe. And you've got to spend money and really build a system to go and do that. And Arsenal are not investing at that level, Rog. Okay, Southampton 8, Sunderland 0. We have to speak about it, Rog. I mean, a remarkable result.
Yep.
Southampton hang 8 goals on a lifeless, bedraggled Sunderland. The rout started with a 12th-minute Santiago Vergini wonder strike into his own net. And two from and two from Graciano Pella. The only bigger margin of victory in Premier League history. Manchester United 9, Ipswich Town 0. In 1995. Sorry to bring that up, producer JW.
Oh, Davo.
Yeah.
Ronald Koeman.
Yeah.
His side scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
And then ran in the 2-point conversion.
Yep.
He looked very happy after the game.
Happy. I've never seen anybody looking that happy.
I mean, Sunderland, it's like some kind of perverse competition between them and Newcastle to be England's most dysfunctional performers. How they rebound, if they rebound next week against Spurs, is going to be a bellwether for this season and for Gus Poyet. Southampton, have they done it, David? I mean, you watch United complain about needing time to gel for their players.
And everybody buys in. I heard Martin Tyler on the commentary yesterday talking about, oh, you can't expect anything overnight from this team. They got to bet in the new players, bet in the new system. You know, Southampton have done this very, very well. You know, I think they were a little fortunate in this game, Rog. I think the scoreline is a little bit flattering. Great second-half performance. Terrible second-half performance from Sunderland. There were some key moments in that first half. The Virginio goal, I mean, that's just a...
this man has played
freak.
For Argentina. Yeah. He's played for, when it went in,
yeah.
My father-in-law, I was watching it with him.
Yeah.
He turned around to me and he goes, is Cumberland pretty caca, Rog? Cumberland. I mean, they are the English Premier League's Brazil.
Well, you can't score an own goal of that quality without having some quality, Rog. If you're a crap player, you can't score an own goal that well.
It's like Les Dawson playing the piano.
You're absolutely right. It's like Les Dawson missing that one note on the piano.
It's an old English comedian.
Look him up on YouTube. Brilliant.
Used to play the piano. And my mother would laugh every time when he hit the wrong note.
Just miss one note by a semitone.
And she'd always say, you have to be able to play the piano really, really well to be able to play it that badly.
That's so true. So I think they got a little unlucky penalty decision, went against them, Rog, and they ended up going behind. And it then just got worse and worse. They hung their heads, didn't make much of an effort. I mean, Sunderland and Southampton, we should say, could not be further apart in the Premier League. Just so far apart, and that round trip must have been hundreds and hundreds of miles those poor Sunderland fans had to travel to go and see
to watch a defeat, a cataclysm, a footballing defenestration. Yeah. I mean, to me, the thing that Koeman's done that's interesting is he went to Holland, which is a complete lottery when you take the best creative force, Tadic, and the second best striker, Pelé, from Holland. It's such a lottery. You can get your Luis Suarez from the Eredivisie. Yeah. You can also get your Jozy Altidore, who, by the way, as bad as Sunderland are, is still not getting into the match 18.
Yeah,
he's also tightened up the defensive kind of organisation of Southampton for all of the talk of the goals they've scored. Yeah. It is remarkable how tight they are. Tight. They are at the back, but Dusan Tadic is a delight, and the Brill Cream Graziano Pelé is the kind of man I wish I was, David.
Yeah, and as many players as they lost, what's remarkable is that they still have some very, very good players playing there. Font, Jack Cork, Rog, Ward-Prowse, they've got some excellent players still at that club left over from last season. Nathaniel Klein, of course, on the fringes of the England team right now. Just good, good players. Great keeper, young Fraser Forster. They're just a very, very good football team. And balanced, Rog. Great at the back. Great midfielders. Great link-up players. And that sort of very rare thing that not many teams in the Premier League have. A proven Premier League, at this point, just 8/38 of the way in. A proven Premier League goal scorer.
Who's also, as a young teen, one of the greatest ballroom dancers in Italy.
Oh, really?
It's one of my greatest regrets in life that I am not...
That you never learned how to ballroom dance.
Not an able ballroom dancer. It's a
you
weakness.
Look like someone who could ballroom dance.
I like to think of myself as a ballroom dancer.
Everton 3, Rog. I imagine you were dancing around the living room to this. Aston Villa 0. Oh, Tim Howard versus Brad Guzan. Battle. Epic clash of the American goalkeepers.
What are the odds that one nation of 300 million people can produce not one, but two completely bald elite goalkeepers?
Or that the two biggest goalkeepers would be bald. Everton comfortably dispatched of Aston Villa, and Tim Howard bests USA teammate and interim number one, Brad Guzan, even better than the win for Evertonians. Ross Barkley, Rog, returns to the side after injury, impresses in his first game of the season. Even though he's looking a little bit large.
He is, but he's the brain that our side has been missing.
Yeah.
We played competently for the first time this season. Another big return for Villa. Christian Benteke did not muster a shot on target. In fairness to him, he didn't get much service at the same time. This whole game just made me think about baldness, David. Are you embarrassed by your baldness?
No, not at all. I've never really been embarrassed by my baldness.
When did you first realise you were getting bald?
Occasionally, I'm going to the gym a lot these days, Rog, and I see myself in the mirror. You know, there are lots of mirrors in gyms. And so I see when I'm jumping rope or boxing, and I can see in the back, and I see this bald guy boxing or jumping rope, and I think for a second, who's that? And then I realise it's me. And I think, my God, that's what people look at when they walk behind me, and I'm surprised about it. But really, I'm not embarrassed. I find it a relief that I don't ever have to worry about my hair anymore.
It's only my ankles that I'm embarrassed by.
Yeah. Really? What's wrong with your ankles?
They're very white.
Oh, I love my ankles. My ankles are usually tan.
I used to have really long curly hair. Yeah. Almost Carlos Puyol-like.
Looked amazing.
I think we popped a photograph on Instagram.
It's so good. Check our Instagram feed.
I don't care. I love being bald. Yeah. I honestly feel this. I'm a big believer in inner beauty. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the bald me is the real me, David.
Yeah.
And I actually feel an affinity for other bald men on the side. I wink at them.
Is that why you love me?
One of the reasons. Oh. Do you feel enough bond for bald men? Do you wink at them on the subway?
No, not really. I'm a non-discriminator. I like people who are both bald and who have hair.
So that was it?
Yeah.
Jack scored again?
That was it. Yeah, Jack scored again, Rog. The Strafender. What a season he's having.
That's Scott
going forward.
One Hasty is Jack's the new Skirtle.
Yeah.
Lukaku doubled the lead. Mm-hmm. Right through Brad Guzan. Yeah. Nick Romando would have loved that goal.
Yeah.
At I am Mike Wilson. What the world needs now is a Naismith Lukaku buddy cop film. Yeah. It's already been made.
That's genius.
Remember when Miami Vice was on? There were two characters, Zito and Switek.
Yeah, absolutely. That's who it is.
They were the antonym of Crockett and Tubbs. Uh-huh. They were grubby, unglamorous surveillance guys. I love them more than the pastel wearing stars. I always thought they should have had a spin-off, but they gave them a single standalone episode and then mercilessly killed them both. Oh. Or one of them. I can't remember. I think it's a metaphor for Naismith and Lukaku, but I may be the only person in America that still mourns Zito and Switek. The clean sheet was most important for Everton, David.
Are they back, Roger? Are Everton back now? Are there problems behind them?
Undoubtedly not.
Undoubtedly not. Just from your skewed point of view where you...
This is the first clean sheet they've had this season.
Yeah.
16 goals in 8 games. Yeah. There's still a lot to be afraid of.
Newcastle 1, Leicester City 0. Rog, Newcastle fans were forced to wait even longer for their first win of the season thanks to a faulty big screen that delayed the match by an hour. When the game finally got underway, a tidy, very tidy, Gabriel Obertan, he's cutting right, 71st minute run and strike gave the Magpies all 3 points.
That scoreboard.
Yeah.
The British laid 44,000 miles of train track across India by 1927.
Yeah, no problem with that.
Now we can't fix a wobbly scoreboard.
No.
Did we ever really have an empire, David? Or was it all a dream?
Yeah, we did. It was just a very, very, very long time ago, Rog, when people like my father and your dad could actually do things with their hands. And
before scoreboards were invented.
I know, without having to, oh, look, somebody pick up the phone and call the scoreboard company. It was shocking. Just a bit of wind. They hadn't accounted for a bit of wind. Stoke City 2, Swansea City 1. Stoke City fight back after falling behind at the Britannia. Wilfred Boney put the Swans ahead from the penalty spot 34 minutes in, but a 43rd minute Charlie Adam penalty and a 76th minute Jonathan Walters header gave the Podders all 3 points. After a pacey start to the season, Swansea would now be winless in their last 5 league games.
No more bipolar team in the Premier League than Stoke City.
Yeah, you're right.
They've beaten Man City.
Yeah.
They've lost to Villa and Leicester at home.
Yeah.
Ryan Shawcross, this was his 7th penalty he's given away since 2008.
Yeah.
Richard Dunn approves.
Very much so. But another very good defender leads by example from the back. And, you know, you sort of feel that he is trying to get that team fired up. The atmosphere at the Britannia Stadium is absolutely fantastic. I really want to go and watch a game of football there, Roger. Never been
to
the Britannia.
When we shoot our series in the car.
I know, we're thinking of doing our version of the trip where we drive around English Premier League grounds. If you own a big company, please let us know. And if you want to sponsor that series, at Men in Blazers or meninblazers@gmail.com. Burnley 1, West Ham 3, Diafra Sakho continues his fine form. Well, on the day of Sam Allardyce's birthday party, Rog, scoring his 6th goal in as many starts for the Hammers.
West Ham's again, their array of attacking options. Yes, I just said that.
Yeah.
Gave him the edge. Enna Valencia.
Yeah.
Whoa, neck muscle defying header. Diafra Sakho.
Tasty.
6 goals in his first 7 games. Even Colin Cole scoring, Davo. Who needs Andy Carroll?
Yeah.
By the way, it's nearly November.
Yeah.
And West Ham United are 4th.
Say that again.
It's nearly November.
Yeah.
And West Ham are
4th. They're going to Europe, Rog. They are going to Europe. Europe will not know what has hit them when Sam Allardyce hits the continent. Rog, we've got something going on at home right now. This feud.
Mummy and Daddy are arguing again.
I know, between Commissioner Don Garber and Jurgen Klinsmann. Something of a Joan Collins, Linda Evans-style verbal catfight has enveloped US soccer. It started when Jurgen Klinsmann took what many perceived as a jab at an MLS by questioning if the league was hurting player production in general and Michael Bradley in particular. particular. And MLS Commissioner Don Garber hit back at a press conference USA Today branded as insane, attempting to throw down a series of verbal haymakers, calling Klinsmann's remarks patently untrue and personally infuriating. The Von Trapp's leader, Klinsmann, responded by saying he wasn't criticizing NMLS and lauding the debate over such issues as pretty cool. So Californian, Rog.
By the way, Jurgen doesn't call it NMLS. Yeah. He calls it the MLS.
No, not, really?
Probably nothing infuriates them more.
They must send him so many letters about that.
At Sounder Trialist tweeted us and said, Nerf guns at 20 paces, lads. I mean, the two of them, it's like James Maddison and Alexander Hamilton of American soccer going at it. Their interests are overlapping,
yeah,
but they're most definitely not aligned. Garber's goal is to serve his owners and grow the league. Jurgen's just got to find the best 23 Americans in the world to try and win that World Cup in 2018. I understand why Don Garber felt compelled to speak. I imagine his owners kind of forced him out. I've also been told that there were calls that had occurred between the two parties that had led absolutely nowhere. And I also understand why he felt compelled to defend the league. I just don't understand how he defended it in that way. Why wouldn't he have done a single interview, Dave, where he just laughed at Jurgen and just said, that's just Jurgen being Jurgen. Put Jurgen back in his box by naming it and almost laughing at him kind of diffusively, rather than revealing Uriah. At Scott J. Jerris tweeted us and said, Garber reminded me of Kevin Bacon in Animal House, where he's shouting, remain calm, all is well, as the whole city is running around in sheer panic.
Yeah, I don't know how to think about this. I mean, MLS have sealed their contracts going forward. Very good contract between ESPN and Fox. They don't have to worry about this. To me, this still speaks a little bit about an MLS's inferiority complex, where instead of allowing the football to do the talking, they so much want to be seen as an elite league that to be questioned whether or not they're an elite league is like damning of their entire structure. Rather than just letting this league continue to develop in the fantastic way it's already developed and get to the place that it is naturally going to get, Klinsmann has been completely consistent with what he's saying. He's saying exactly the same thing that he's said forever.
From his first press conference.
He is saying exactly the same thing. He's German. He is consistent. He is not going to stop saying...
It's rational against emotional.
Yes, completely. And I'm not saying he's right. I'm saying he's going to be consistent. And he's never said anything different. He has on his shoulders... He's gone out there. He said that the aim for the US is to get to the third, fourth playoff game at the World Cup.
And then lose.
Yeah, in 2018. And he's going to need star players performing really well there. And he loses all credibility with the players. This is what he's been saying to them forever. And this is, I think, what he's going to go and say in the media. I have sympathy with Don. I'm sure it's infuriating. I just don't think he needs to start a fight over this.
I do really wonder how the MLS players feel when Jurgen says this. 10 out of his 23 in Brazil play their trade in MLS. But I do know Jurgen loves playing this role. He absolutely loves it. It's like Debbie Allen at the start of Fame, the tough realist who sparks, right here is where you start paying in sweat. It's the kind of guy that he is.
Yeah.
And no one puts Jurgen in the corner. As Kevin Spacey says on House of Cards, you devour a whale one bite at a time. And I've got a feeling Jurgen is going to keep doing this over and over.
Are any of these American players going to play worse and with less confidence? You know them all, Rog. Are any of them going to play worse, have less self-belief because of what Jurgen has said? No, none of them are going to play worse. Maybe one or two, it might fill them with belief. And maybe for the next player who's struggling to break into his first team at a European club, and let's hope that this is where we're going to be in the next 2 to 3 years, is before coming back and taking a lucrative deal in MLS. And I understand why these players come back, and I think it's great for MLS when they do. But perhaps for the national team, it might just be better for us to have a player who could break into one of these elite first teams in Europe. So perhaps this isn't actually about Bradley. Perhaps this isn't about Dempsey. Perhaps this isn't about any of the current players. Maybe this is the marker he's laying down in the future to a Julian Green. Maybe this is in advance of DeAndre Yedlin going to Tottenham and saying, prepare yourself to break in and go and do it. I think what Klinsmann is doing is actually correct in terms of man management. Okay, Rog, to the Ravens. I should say, before we get to the Ravens today, we receive some really wonderful things that you send us, and nothing We keep everything. We attempt to answer every single Raven. So thank you this week to Stacey Unger. Sent us a lovely note, Rog. And she sent us, we'll post this up on the Twitter or perhaps in the newsletter, Rog, these beautiful paper straws with ravens on them, Rog.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to sip my Guinness from it right now. Throw us one.
If they didn't already make them, we would make these and sell them. I think there's absolutely no doubt about it. They're lovely, high quality stuff. Okay, to the Ravens from Gordon Robertson. At last, a very English Scottish name, Rog. GFOP in Pittsburgh, Rog. Gordon Robertson asks, over the past few years, as my passion for Premier League soccer has grown, my interest in American football, and particularly the NFL, has been proportionately in decline. Success in my fantasy football league has kept me mildly engaged, but I've come to the realization that traditional American football is something that I could probably live without, like Bananarama and SpaghettiOs.
That's sacrilege.
Yeah, but like, what are you talking about, the NFL or like Bananarama and SpaghettiOs? Okay. But like a Burnley goal when you least expect it, I was struck this Sunday afternoon while visiting some friends to discover the eighth wonder of the world, the NFL Red Zone. I know it's not new, and I had a vague understanding of it, but nothing could prepare me for the mainlining of every visceral pleasure American football has to offer. It got me wondering if a similar platform would work for the EPL. If you could somehow aggregate every meaningful shot, build-up, save, corner, and Wayne Rooney groin kick into a real-time broadcast, would it be the most splendiferous thing since Chumbawamba? Or would it lay waste to the beautiful game, inquisitively, Gordon Robertson? Well, the first thing that occurs to me, Rog, is let's look at the goals that Liverpool scored against QPR. Certainly the second two goals that they scored against QPR this weekend. They both came. One came from a corner for QPR. The other one came from a free kick for QPR. Now, maybe those would have been on a Premier League version of the Red Zone as though QPR were about to score. And then do you stay with it when Liverpool go all the way down the other end of the field and put it in the other end?
I think probably we would be very popular here. I can't watch football like that.
Yeah.
I love football.
Yeah, but American football or soccer?
Soccer. I find it very hard to dip into soccer games without watching the entire 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I love the game of chess. I love the tactical build. I love the cut and thrust, the emotional swell.
Yeah.
Even when I watch highlights, it feels like I'm watching a movie in jump cut. We're reading the last chapter of a mystery novel to find out who done it.
Yeah.
Without reading kind of the build-up. It's all money shots and no foreplay. It makes me feel dirty.
I do want to get, it does remind me, I do really want to get more involved in fantasy football, though, Rog. Many of my mates do it. It's like it occupies their entire life. It must be really, really, really
good. Too busy ballroom dancing, David.
Okay, this one from Rahul Desai, Rog. This is the winner of the coveted Guinness Men in Blazers Poet, Philosopher, Soccer, Scribe, Raven of the Week, Rahul Desai. He's in a subject. This is in memo form. I love it. American expat QPR fan living in London. Hello, gents. I moved to London from New York last October for a job. For reasons that are now a bit hazy to me, I decided to join the world's loneliest bandwagon and become a supporter of Queen's Park Rangers, who were in the championship at the time. Within 24 hours of touching down in London, I attended my first match at Loftus Road, and I was immediately hooked. I have since attended nearly every home fixture, including, sadly, yesterday's loss to Liverpool. Channeling my inner Bill Buford, I then decided to penetrate the fan base and begin travelling with the away fans, good for you, visiting 28 grounds over the course of 13 months. My travels have taken me to tourist hotspots, including Birmingham, a city that makes Cleveland look a booming financial capital. Blackpool, a tackier, bizarro version of Coney Island, if Coney Island happened to be in an isolated freezing corner of the country and stubbornly stuck in the 1960s. And Doncaster, a northern town so depressing that it helped explain Roger's outlook on life and left me questioning whether the British Empire was just a myth.
See?
After a year of obsessively following QPR, I feel like I understand football and the club and know quite a bit about the intricacies of Harry Redknapp's continental tactics. Yet every time I talk shop with a local QPR fan and they detect my American accent, they immediately do their best Dave-O impression and start saying, soccer. In many respects, I feel that the British first presume that I do not know what I'm talking about, largely because I am American. How do us American football fans, soccer fans, commentators and managers rectify these presumptions? I've come up with the following suboptimal solutions for myself as a fan. 1. Adopt a British accent. 2. Start gratuitously using British footy slang such as slide rule and top draw. Or 3. Channel my inner Bob Bradley, move to Norway, and develop my football bona fides by following a Tipperlagen squad. Please advise. Courage, Rahul. Great what Raven, by the way. Great
story. What a story.
And good for you getting fully involved.
I can't wait for the mini series of that Raven.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
It'll be like the Thornbirds. It'll have Richard Chamberlain in it.
Yeah. So what's your answer, Rod?
I think it's changing.
Yeah.
I think the English POV, the derision of American football culture is eroding.
Mm-hmm.
The US World Cup performance, England's dire limp waddle of a World Cup themselves, it's shifted the balance.
Yeah.
I would look at it, Rahul, less as mockery and more as humour designed to mask a growing sense of inferiority.
And delusion.
Stay the course.
Yes.
Courage, Rahul. Sorry about QPR bit, though.
Yeah, you know just as much, if not more, than any of those guys. Our guest today is a former first-round MLS draft pick, Rog, and a goalkeeper for the US under-20 national team. But after realising you have to be bald to break through as an American keeper, he bought his full head of hair to college football's SEC. We welcome to the pod a man who proves soccer's pulse beats strongly deep in the heart of Texas and that kickers, football kickers, are people too, Rog. Texas A&M Aggies kicker, Josh Lambeau.
Howdy, how y'all doing?
Pretty good. Welcome to the Men in Blazers pod. Okay, first question. Josh, we're catching you, I think, on a slightly bad week. Texas A&M got the Sunderland treatment this weekend, lost 59-0 to Alabama. They're very good, though. You started the season 5-0, have since lost three straight. How are you feeling?
You know, it's difficult. Obviously, we're in a bit of a slump right now. But, you know, I mean, that's sports. You know, sports are a fickle thing. We still have a young team, and we're finding our identity right now. And this is really going to cause some guys to step up and, you know, prove whether they have it or they don't.
Josh, you're a former USA under-20 keeper. You're an FC Dallas first-round MLS draft pick. You had a trial with Sheffield United. You support Everton, Josh. You're friendly with Tim Howard and Brad Guzan. How on earth did you decide to become an SEC kicker?
Well, FC Dallas kind of decided that for me when they didn't re-sign my contract.
Yeah, that can happen.
Yeah, that'll definitely happen. And honestly, I didn't even choose really to go to A&M. They more so chose me. When I started to pursue American football, I had a friend of my brother's who played in the NFL as a kicker, played in Wisconsin. His name is Taylor Melhoff. He taught me how to kick a football. He just made a couple of slight tweaks to my soccer swing. Being a goalie, I'm always hitting long balls with goal kicks and things like that. And made some pretty good tapes. I sent them out to a bunch of schools, and A&M was the one that responded.
But I mean, I want to know about the mental side of things. You're a 15-year-old. You spent the summer training with Everton FC. You went to Finch Farm, their training ground. They were talking about offering you a professional contract. You had a trial at Sheffield United. I mean, you were very close to clicking and finding a professional rung in the English game. How does it feel now mentally to be pursuing a career in a very different part of the sporting arena?
I think a lot of the... you know, failures and kind of letdowns I had in soccer really has prepared me for football. Just in the means of, I know what it feels like to have something that you love taken away. I mean, I had, you know, in my mindset, I was planning on having a 10-15 year soccer career. And obviously that got taken away after 4 years. And so with football, I'm really not taking anything for granted because I know what it's like to have that taken away, and I'm doing everything I can to take my chances.
You came through in club soccer in Chicago with Brad Guzan at the same club. You're friendly with Tim Howard. Are they nurturing gentlemen, or do they fear young rivals with hair?
No, they were both great when I got to be with them. When I was with the U-17s in residency, down in Bradenton, Florida, I had the chance to train with the full national team for one practice. They were short on keepers, and I was with Brad Guzan, and he was definitely helpful. He was helping me out, was encouraging me. You know, when we got into small sided, if I'd make a mistake, you know, he'd just say, "Hey, keep your head up, keep on playing." Tim Howard, great as well. I've had, you know, the honor of training with him several times, and we had the same goalkeeper coach when we were both. Obviously, we're much different age wise. But growing up, we had the same goalkeeper coach, and so we're very, you know, relatable in terms of goalkeeping and how we saw things. But he was always encouraging, always uplifting, and just both those guys just a joy to be with.
We were talking earlier about goalkeepers, and we're saying how it's difficult to that there are some goalkeepers who are great shot stoppers, but aren't necessarily great, you know, handlers of the cross ball. What is it about when you were a goalkeeper? Were you a great shot stopper, or were you a dominant force in the area, or just really good at kicking the ball?
Well, I think you know, at the professional level, I think all goalkeepers they need to be good shot stoppers to make it to that level. The big difference between the good and the great goalkeepers are handling crosses, dealing with breakaways, distribution. Crosses for me, while I felt that I could read them fairly well, being 6 foot for a goalkeeper is quite short, especially, you know, overseas, just because they just have some monsters. And the Premier League is a very cross-dominant league. I think that was one of the main reasons why I never made it over there, because they had, you know, especially in the Prem, you know, they have forwards that can outjump my hands with their heads. Uh-huh. And I think that was a big reason why I wasn't able to succeed over there.
There is some element of football that you've kept alive. I know you have celebrated great field goals in your time with a knee slide. But we had a question from a listener. At Patrick Jeter wants to know, do you feel the urge to rip off your jersey after every extra point?
I don't, mainly because those things are so tight it'd be impossible to get back on.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, the Arsenal player Alexis Sanchez managed to get his jersey off once this season.
Yeah.
It's an engineering feat that defies physics. Last question for me. I read the beautiful interview where you revealed that you take yoga classes that are taught, by Breck Shea's mother.
Yeah.
Can you describe this experience of higher consciousness?
Well, I don't know if I've achieved that quite yet, but you know, it's a good class. You know, it really kind of takes me away from, you know, from the daily grind of studying, and takes me away from football, and I'm around people that aren't, you know, crazy athletes. And so, I mean, it's a good little break every Wednesday morning for me.
What's Breck Shea's mother's name?
Kirsten.
And how can we take how can lesser mortals take a class with Breck Shea's mum?
Well, first of all, you have to enroll in Texas A&M University.
Oh, well, that's possible. We'd love to. If they teach World War One poetry, we're pretty much
already 100% Aggie.
Josh, thank you so much for coming on our show. Good luck with the rest of your season at Texas A&M. We'll be following your career. Good luck. Hope you make it to the pros and make bags of cash.
And remember the little people.
Thanks, Josh.
Well, great. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Lovely guy, Rog.
What an articulate kicker / under-20s US-American goalkeeper. The most articulate kicker / goalkeeper we've ever had on the pod.
You're absolutely right, Rog. Okay, your weekend looks like this. West Ham versus Manchester City. That's at 7:45 a.m. Saturday. Sunderland versus Arsenal, 10 a.m. Saturday. Manchester United versus Chelsea, the big one, noon on Sunday.
Not in the face.
All games are on NBC's family of networks. In an MLS, Sporting Kansas City are playing the New York Red Bulls, Rog, that Sunday, 8:30 p.m. on ESPN Dose. Before we go, an apology, Rog. On behalf of both of us, on behalf of everyone at Men in Blazers, we owe many GFOPs an apology for a technical mishap of sorts.
Mishap.
As part of our mishap. As part of our transition to a new network, we had to switch our RSS feed. Unfortunately, when we made the switch, all of our old episodes were mistakenly marked new and started automatically downloading for many of you. This, by the way, is something which the podcast business is handled at the distribution end, not by humans, but by robots who do it. And one mistake is made in the software, and it's all blown. We're eternally grateful when you can stomach one episode of our suboptimal stylings. We would never intentionally subject you to hundreds at once. Here's what you need to know moving forward. If you're already an iTunes or Stitcher subscriber, all will be well. We're getting a new RSS feed, and we've posted that on our website, meninblazers.com. Please check it out. Do not hesitate to let us know if you have any questions. Again, we apologize and thank you for your patience. Many ways to connect to us, Rog. One is our Amazon Emporium, which helps keep the show going. Anytime you go on Amazon for items, big or small, just click off the Emporium page, and Men in Blazers gets a tiny percentage that allows us to cover the cost of creating the show. What are you putting in the store this week, Rog?
Well, as you know, Davo,
yeah,
much of my worldview, I'd say 96%, is impacted by First World War poetry.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of you have asked for the best starting point for this genre.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend Men Who March Away, Poems of the First World War, a paperback that came out in 1965. It's by Ian M. Parsons. We had it as a textbook at school when I was seven. Dulce et Decorum Est, Wilfred Owen's poem about being mustard gassed to death in the trench, was one of the first poems I ever learnt by heart.
Wow, I'm going to get that, Rog. Well, Rog, for me, I'm putting in the store a 1.7-ounce bottle of Oscar by Oscar de la Renta, Eau de Cologne.
Is this for drinking or is this for slapping on all over?
No, you've got to drink the Guinness 1759, Rog. You don't want to slap that on your body, but you do want to slap this on your body. Oscar de la Renta passed away yesterday, Rog.
Yes, he did.
And my first memory, the first thing I think about when I think about Oscar de la Renta is the single bottle of Oscar de la Renta cologne that sat unused in my dad's medicine cabinet for at least 25 years. I occasionally used to put it on when I was way too young to be wearing it, way too young to shave. I apologized to my first girlfriends back there in South London for how awful I must have smelled. For a 13-year-old, but for a grown-up, you'll smell fantastic in the Oscar by Oscar de la Renta Eau de Cologne Spray, 1.7 ounces.
You can commemorate the passing of Oscar de la Renta and also smell as musty as Davo's dad.
Yeah, that's good. I'm not sure he ever wore it. Okay, other way to connect to us, Men in Blazers, darkwickerspaces.com. That's a wonder of the modern world that is maintained by our fans. Go to meninblazers.com, Rog. You can find out everything that we're posting there. Sign up for our newsletter. Follow us on Twitter at Men in Blazers, at Rog Bennett, at Embassy Davies. Go to our Instagram at Men in Blazers. Go to our Facebook. Get a lot of action on our Facebook, Rog. We've also got a subreddit. It's maintained by GFOP Akshay. That's at reddit.com/r/Men in Blazers. You can email us at meninblazers@gmail.com. You can send your ravens to the crap
with
pot
Raven
of Soho.
Straws.
They love the fall weather, Rog. Vendepunkt.
War pig.
Who wants to sex Matombo?
Explosion.
Courage.
Size the day, Guinness 1759.
Is that your analysis?
To tweed.
Abrigado. Rock on, mate.
Oh, kung fu fighting America. I love
you,
Rog.
Dave.
100% Aggies.